excelling in the grace of giving. There are several doors in life, and it's not every key that can open a particular door. The Lord Jesus said, when you pray, when ye fast, then he said, when ye give. So the Lord Jesus himself didn't limit the opening of doors in our lives just to prayer. So it's important we excel in the grace of giving also. In our giving life, there are two main groups we will give to: God and man. Giving is living. If you want to keep living, keep giving. The day you stop giving, you stop living. Keeping won't increase you. Releasing will rather bring increase. Excel in the grace of giving.
Now, your word in season.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would not waste the time that God has given you. You know, life is limited by time. Life on earth is limited by time. You know, so time is a limited resource. Nobody has time in excess. That's why when we wake up in the morning, everybody has 24 hours. You see, and it's very deceptive to think that you have so much time. That's why I tell people, when you want to do something, do it quickly. Sometimes they think I'm joking. But the fact is that I tell people, marry early. They think I'm joking, because you need time to parent, to be even a parent. Do you know, in America, they wouldn't allow you to adopt a child when you are like 40 years. Because they consider it to be that if you are 40 years, how long are you going to spend that you will now be able to take care of a child? You see, people tend to waste so much time postponing, procrastinating, postponing, and they think there's a lot of time. Most especially when even it comes to the work of God. Charlie, there's a time coming, you realize that even if you had a vision, you can't accomplish it, because there's no time. You see? So get wiser, okay? And make sure that you do not abuse the time that God has given you. Many things that you will be able to accomplish in life, you ought to have caught the vision early and started in your 20s. I tell you, started in your 20s. That's why I am not a fan of pretenders. You know, you must be very real about life, because life is real. I hope you are getting what I am saying. Life is very real. Your 20s. No wonder even in answering the call of God, God said, if somebody will answer the call, it has to be by 25, the person should have answered. By 50, the person should be putting down the service and coaching others. Hey! But most of the time, we look at life and it's like we have all the time. Yes. Yes. I tell you. It's so important. I thank God I answered the call the time I answered the call. You see, I decided to enter full-time ministry at 27 years. Yeah. I cannot just imagine myself starting now. Even when I started 27 years, the kind of battles are fought. And whether you like it or not, you fight the battles. So the earlier, the better. I said, I pray that you will not waste time. You will not waste time. I tell people, the moment money starts coming into your hand, buy a land. Build a house. Sometimes they look at me, it's like I'm a funny guy. If you don't build early, you may not even stay in it to enjoy the house before you die. Charlie, everything on this earth is time bound. A time to be born, a time to die. Can you imagine, maybe you finish building a house at 50 years or 55 years, how long would you stay in the house? So you realize that if you fail to do things on time, it will go against you. You get the point? Eh? When you start traveling, you travel. When you start traveling outside the country and you start using the airplane, you realize that airplanes don't wait for people. And when you miss the time, it will leave you. I tell you. I pray you'll be on time. Sometimes I look like I'm rushing. Like it's like I want to do things quickly. It's like there's this urgency. It is because of my consciousness of time that my time, I don't have all the time. My time will expire one day. All of us wish that we have more time, isn't it? But sometimes you realize that most of the time we don't even know the time will go. That's the thing, no. All of us, we wish for many years. If you are going to be 70 or 80 or 90, you just subtract it from your age right now. I think there's time. Shall I? May the Lord help you to do things on time. All right. Let's read the scripture. I said 1 Corinthians chapter what? 12. From verse 27, please. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So say I am a part of the body of Christ. Say I am a member. In particular. Yes, that means there is a part in Christ that you fail. Now verse 28 says, and God has set some in the church. So it is God who set people in the church. He says God has set some in the church. Then he begins to mention the setting. Then he says, first, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healings. Helps. Say helps. Governments. Diversities of tongues. So, have you seen apostles? 1. Prophets? 2. Teachers? 3. Miracle workers? 4. Gifts of healings? 5. Helps. 6. Governments. That means administration. Okay. 7. Diversities of tongues. 8. Right? Then I want you to take note of something. Verse 29. He says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Verse 30. Have all the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues and do all interpret? No. Where is helps? That means all are helpers. Where are governments? That means everybody can be in governing the administration. Why is it that those two were not brought here? Eh? People of God. So you see, to be a helper, you have been set by God. You know, sometimes it's almost like people think that those that are important in the church are the apostles, the prophets. Huh? But understand this, that the place of helps is an ordained place God has set people in. I know people who advise people when they see that they are helpers, they advise them against the one they've been set to help. Are you following the thing? Yeah. You may not be an apostle, but ask for helper. Yeah. So take your place of being a helper very serious, because it is an ordained place. It's an ordained place. Don't strive to want to become apostle. If he called you as such and will set you as such, fine. But if he didn't, but set you as a helper, accept your place, because you are a member in particular. Am I communicating at all? Some will become elders, some will become deacons, and that is governments, pastors, governments. Are you getting the point? Yeah. But I want you to see that help, the place of being a helper in the church, it's an ordained place God has set. So don't let somebody spoil your mind in thinking as if it's like, why you are doing too much. It's your place. So if somebody is helping the church by playing bass guitar, that is, it's a place set by God. Are you getting the point? Yeah. So whatever you are doing, that the Lord has granted you that opportunity, remember that to be in the helps ministry is an ordained place set by God. Don't joke with it. And don't let anybody stop you from being a helper. I hope you are getting the point. Hallelujah. I see helpers. I said, I see helpers. Don't stop ministering help. He may have ordained you probably into one of the offices he mentioned before, but everybody will first be a helper. Does it make sense? Praise the Lord. I pray that you will not miss the opportunities God creates for us to help in the church. You would take that place serious and you offer the help you must offer in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. And when you have the opportunity, you don't have all the time. Help with everything in you. Everything in you. Ensure that you are delivering that ministry of helps. Praise God. Now let's get back to our subject. We started Sunday dealing with excelling in the grace of giving. Let me just do a top up this evening, then we will continue on Sunday. All right? Beautiful. So last Sunday, we saw that we may abound in many things as believers, but there is one grace we must abound in, which is the grace of giving. And we read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8. Then in that scripture, we saw how Apostle Paul was saying there was a special grace on the church of Macedonia. And he was encouraging the Corinthians. He said, as for you, I know you excel in everything. but also excel in this grace also. So in verse 7, let's read verse 7. I think we were with the NIV. So let's read verse 7, NIV. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Very important. Hallelujah. And we saw that the scripture says, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So it is giving that has a promise. Receiving doesn't. So you shouldn't be excited always receiving, being at the receiving end. You should actually be sad when you don't have to give. Huh? Do you know one of the reasons why you must even have work to do is so that you can have to give? Ephesians. Huh? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Ephesians 4, 28. He says, let him that stole steal no more. That's what the scripture says, right? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So when you don't work, you wouldn't have to give. I hope you are getting the point. So it's important that you are always thinking about how you can also give. Receiving is nice, but receiving has no promise. It is giving that has a promise. And I told you, giving and receiving goes hand in hand. They are twins. You cannot give without receiving. Giving is sowing a seed. All right? Praise the Lord. Then we also saw that the Lord, he ministered seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Ministered seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians 9. From verse 6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sow bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So whenever you are giving something, you say, oh, this is just my widow's mite. And even the widow's mite, the Bible says the widow, she gave all. So if you are talking about widow's mite, so it says if you sow in ketenkete, you also reap ketenkete. If you sow bountifully, you also reap what? Bountifully. Go, the next verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Or of necessity. Have you heard people like that? I remember some time ago we wanted to buy something, and I think it was chairs or something. So whilst we're bringing the chairs out, one senior official in the church said something. He said, I was like, wow. Can you just imagine such a statement? You see, that's a very wrong mindset. You get the point? Hallelujah. For God, he loveth for a cheerful giver. The Lord, he loveth a cheerful giver. So if you are giving, don't be doing it grudgingly. Or you think there's a need, and therefore I must, if I don't meet the need, nobody will meet it. Don't do that. Rather, give cheerfully. Then verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 9, he says, for it is written, as it is written, he that he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower. So God, he gives seed to the sower. Then bread for your food. But he doesn't mention anything with the bread multiplying. He says, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So understand this. Until you have sown something, you don't qualify for a harvest. Okay? Se unu ya bibia. Otwa bia anya den. In the home. The last Sunday too, I spoke about how that God will not require anything that he has not given to you from you. So before God would require that you give something, he would have given you something first. He would have given you something first. All right? So let me add on today. Tonight, just a few points, then we'll continue on Sunday. So now listen to this. Nothing in God's universe produces a harvest until a seed is sown. So nothing. Everything in God's universe operates with this principle. Until a seed is sown, a harvest is not guaranteed. All right? Until something is given, increase is not guaranteed. So, if you are expecting a harvest, the harvest expected is initiated by a seed. Okay? I pray you will be a dangerous giver. You didn't respond. I think you don't like it. You want to be at the receiving end, eh? Those who just wait to only receive, they get broker and more broke, and they don't enjoy life as they should because they are always waiting for somebody to give them. They don't release. You must always be happy to be at the releasing end. That is when you are guaranteed of inflows. Huh? Praise the Lord. So nothing in God's universe. If a male wants to have a child, that male can wish for a child forever. I know people who adopt children, right? But adopted child is not like your own biological child that you've birthed. But for a male to have a child, he has to give. A cheerful giver. He has to give. And the female receives, isn't it? It's like, you are not here, are you? Is your mind here? The female receives. When the female receives, the female too must give. The female, before she will receive, she has to also give. Do you understand? My God. I should throw more light. The female actually gives twice. Yes. The female, she gives her body to receive. And she gives an egg. Again, the female gives twice. Then you realize that a baby will be born. Why? After she has received, she has to now incubate this seed that she has received, keep it in good condition until the right time for delivery. Until there has been a release, forget a harvest. Mm-mm. So every new level of expansion of fruitfulness is connected to giving out of something. Huh? I hope you are following. Praise the Lord. So God, knowing this principle that he set himself, that is why he ministers seed to you, because he knows that without a seed and without you releasing the seed, you cannot have multiplication. You cannot have a harvest. All right? So he is committed to ensuring that you have the seed. But he does not force you to give it. Giving must be out of your own free will. Because it is you that need the harvest, not God. Does it make sense at all? Hallelujah. So he ministered seed to the sower. Look at somebody, I ask the person, are you just at the receiving end or you are a giver? Are you? Ask the person for me, when was the last time you gave something to someone? When was the last time you gave something to someone? Hallelujah. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. You know, normally we don't. Sometimes you are careful whenever you want to share about giving, because people think you want money. But it's a pillar of our faith. You cannot dodge. Now, Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remaineth, once this earth remains, what time? What time?" What time?
Seed time.
Seed time. Have you seen that he placed time to the seed? But harvest, he didn't put time there. That means it is how you use your seed time that will determine your harvest. Come on. Because until you have sown into time, you don't expect any harvest. So seed must be in time so that a harvest is guaranteed. So I told you last Sunday, never think you are poor. Poor people don't give. Those who think they are poor, they don't have much. Every day they don't have something. Every day they don't have. Every time they don't have. They hoard. So you realize that they keep growing lean. But the Bible says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul. The liberal soul, he shall be made fat. Huh? The liberal soul. So he says, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So that's a law. So this is what, when you understand, you flourish even in hard times, because you understand the principle that controls harvest. So when there was famine in the land and Isaac wanted to move to Egypt, God told him, don't go. Sow in this same land. Sow in this same land. Then when he was obedient to that voice, he reaped. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. I see you flourishing even in hard times. Amen. Hallelujah. So the liberal soul, give it to us, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11, from verse 24. Let's start from verse 24. Can you give that to us in NIV? One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. So as a child of God, understand that hoarding is not what increases you. Releasing rather is what increases you. Okay? Verse 25. He says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I see you refreshing others, and therefore you shall be refreshed. Give it to us in King James, please. I want the liberal soul. Verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Amen. Now we see God himself abiding by this principle on the earth. Seed time harvest. Now, the Lord had in mind to make Abraham a great nation. He was going to multiply him to make his descendants into a multitude. What would he do? He had to first give Abraham a seed. What was the seed? The seed was Isaac. Then what did he do? He asked for Isaac back. Abraham had first given birth to Ishmael, but God didn't want Ishmael. Because God didn't give Ishmael to Abraham. He went for it himself. I get it. Ishmael was his own idea. His own idea. It was not God's initiative. So for him to be able to become what God had destined him to become, the father of many nations, it was not going to come through Ishmael, but the seed that he will give him. So God gave him a seed. Now, when God gave him a seed, he had to now release that seed in order for God to give him that harvest. Are you here at all? So God asked for Isaac back. Then when Abraham took Isaac, God said, now. So all that Abraham had been doing, what was it? Now have I known that you fear me. And he says, in multiplying, I'll multiply thee. You see? So that principle holds. God wanted to save the whole world and have the world saved. What did he do? He gave his son. So look, giving is an eternal principle. Whilst on earth, until you give, receiving is not guaranteed. Huh? So I pray that you always see yourself at the giving point. And once you stay at that point, you will never fail to receive what is due you. In Jesus' name, amen. Two I told you on Sunday that when we talk about giving, two main giving points we are supposed to know. I said we give to God and we give to men. Okay? Matthew. This scripture, Jesus speaks about, because they tempted Jesus. They wanted to know whether they should pay taxes. Matthew 22, verse 21. Matthew. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus said something. He said, they say unto him, Caesar's. Because Jesus asked him, whose picture is this? All right? Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, I see this to be, Caesar is man. So whether you like it or not, God expects you to give to man. Then there are those things that we give to God. All right? We give to God. So now, what are the givings that when we give, it is addressed to God, and what are the givings that we give to man? Because we have to understand every single one of them so that we can practice it well. Does it make sense? Hallelujah.
Okay.
Now, before I go to the list of those things, then begin to round up for tonight. Write these two things down. You must always plan your giving. You must always plan your giving. Write that down. You must always plan your giving. Then, the next thing, giving sacrificially must be an act of faith. Giving sacrificially must be an act of faith. Okay? That is when you are placing a demand for something and you say, I'm giving sacrificially. Then it is your faith you are releasing. You should not be coerced. You should not be forced. You should never feel forced to give something. Am I communicating at all? Is that God, he loves a cheerful giver. So if your giving is in a grudging manner, no, he's not happy with that. Or you feel you are so much under duress to give. No. That should not happen. I hope you are getting the point. You must plan your giving. Maybe a day is coming. I don't know when. But maybe a day is coming if I did not ask people to take offering from my church members and maybe they start to take offering, I may say, no, stop. Yeah. Anyway, that day may come. Yeah. One thing I've realized in ministry is that there's nobody who takes offering from my people better than myself. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I never want it to feel as if I've gone to bring somebody to come and take offering. Sometimes if I invite somebody, he asks me, should I take offering? I say, no. I remember we were having an anniversary or something. So Bishop asked me, what should I come to do for you? I said, please, just come and bless us. Yes, that's just come and bless us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yes. Because sometimes I feel that what we are doing, we've already paid for it. Not that we don't need money. Understand what I'm saying? I never want people to feel that they are being forced to give. That's not how God wants it. Am I communicating? Or you don't like the message? Yeah. One man of God invited somebody, so the person took pledges, huge sums of money. So when the person went away, the man of God came to his congregation and said, look, I'm the pastor, nobody should pay. I'm the pastor, nobody should pay. Because he could feel that there's too much pressure on the people. Come on. Yeah. I tell people, I said, whenever you are asked, give everything in your pocket. Don't. If you do, then it was a sacrificial giving, which is an act of your faith. You wanted to do it. Not somebody forcing you to do it. Are you? Or you don't like water? Let's share the grace. Go and bring everything in your account. No, I don't do such things. If you do, it is you acting your faith. Because you want to place a demand. I hope you are getting. So may it never come out of your mouth. We cannot be person member or force me. You are a fool. If that word ever comes out of your mouth, then you are a fool. I'm not insulting you, please. Because you were taught plan your giving. Plan. Tap somebody. Say, are you in the service? It's a short service. Plan your giving. Plan your giving. You take 800 Ghana a month. Huh? And we position the fundraising at the time. Look, many things are gimmicks. I don't have anything to do with those things. You position it at the point where you know that people are going to receive the salary. The guy receives 800 Ghana. Now, you call for people to give 600 Ghana. Okay. And you are expecting the guy to bring 600 Ghana. And if the person doesn't get up, it's almost like, so you are not giving. Why are you not bringing the money? So, should people steal? But if you decide, you can decide, I want to give this my whole salary because I am placing a demand on God. That one is your faith. Nobody should coerce you to do that. Huh? That's why probably many people give and they don't have testimonies because they gave grudgingly. It's like, I do the menu. What do you gain? I know. The man of God told the widow, you have a last bottle of oil with just a handful of flour. Bake for me first. Right? Bake for me first. When he placed in the proposal, the woman was willing to do it as an act of faith. Then a miracle happened. Are you getting the point? Did you hear the prophet say, I am a prophet. If you don't bring it, tender will fire you. I am a prophet. If you don't beg for me first, you will see what will happen to you. There was nothing like that. Am I communicating at all? I see you as a willing, cheerful giver. No grudge. When an amount is mentioned and you don't have it, don't force yourself. I see 10 people. 10 people must give $1,000 right now. 10 people give $1,000 right now. Yes, there may be 10 people who have $1,000. But now you look at somebody who is a businessman, probably you know that has some money to do business. So you must give $1,000. The Lord is going to open a door for you with $1,000. Listen, plan your giving. I may sound like I'm not preaching faith, eh? Plan your giving. I said what? Plan your giving. You cannot go and steal. God doesn't need fraud money. Plan your giving. We will talk about where you stretch your faith to give. Yes, sacrificially. But always plan your giving. Now, let me just give you a list of the givings that we'll talk about on Sunday. Then we'll round up for tonight. Then on Sunday, we'll touch on why money is a powerful seed. Why money, okay, is a powerful seed. So now, let me give you about seven. You can write them down. The first one is tithing. The first one is what? Tithing. So you can list them. We'll continue on Sunday by treating them one by one. Tithing. You're tithe. Number two is kingdom advancement giving, kingdom advancement giving, kingdom advancement giving. You see, tithing is different from kingdom advancement giving. Somebody will look at it. Number three, giving to the saints. Giving to the saints, believers in Christ, okay? Giving to the saints. Number four, free will offerings. What? Free will. Free will offerings. How many have I given you? Four. Number five. Number five. Giving to the poor. Giving to the poor. Giving to the poor. Number six, giving to your parents. Giving to your parents. Then number seven, giving to your prophet, giving to your man of God. I know somebody saying, what about giving to myself? Giving to yourself is not giving. You will receive. Okay, give it to me, number one. Tithing. Number two. Kingdom advancement giving. Number three. Giving to the saints. Number four. Free will offerings. Number five. Giving to the poor. Number six, giving to your parents. Number seven, giving to your prophet. All right? Hallelujah. Now, any day you give something, there is this feeling of as if you are losing something. No. When you keep, you remain small. When you keep, you remain at that level. But when you give, you now have gone above the level. I hope you are getting the point. I want to encourage you. Nobody gives and remains small. So on Sunday one, we start to handle them one by one. You know what blessings the Lord has ordained when we give. All of those givings. And I see you increasing in the name of Jesus. I said, I see you increasing in the name of Jesus. May you not hold back when it is time to release. May you not hold back when it is time to sow. And as you sow, your increase would come. Even in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout a living amen.
Amen.
But go home thinking about this. Never forget, plan your giving. Huh? What did I say?
Plan your giving.
Then I said, when you give sacrificially, it is your faith that you're exercising. It must not be by force or under compulsion. Is somebody listening at all? Don't go and borrow and come and give it to say, make a bob with your crown and be mine. No. Someone said, no, but in the scripture, somebody went to borrow. You see, take your time. Take your time before you enter into complications. hallelujah. I pray that the Lord would give you land to build.
Amen.
As you give, you will be blessed with land to build.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody say, amen. God bless you for listening to today's message. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say this short confession after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died, and on the third day, you were raised back to life, and you are alive. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Even from this day forth, precious Spirit of God, help me to live for the Lord all the days of my life. God bless you. If you said that confession, you are a child of God. Make sure you are planted in a church that will raise you in the Word of God so that you become a tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you have been refreshed by the Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Facebook, Telegram, YouTube, podcast, or Podcast Addict, all at My Pastor Christian or Shepherd's Stream Church. You may also call our helpline for the messages and the books of Pastor Christian and for pure pastoral counsel and any other inquiry on 0540-953-017, 0540-953-017. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly, Kumasi City Church, KCC, Edum, right opposite the GRA building, behind the Ajaba building. My Pastor Christian also comes your way with Shepherd's Stream prayer session this and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the church premise at Edum. You can also join in the prayer session via Facebook Live at My Pastor Christian. Come, pray, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.